So I'm talking to Sue and Ash Reed, who are the Onkaparinga coordinators of the Fleuria Friends of the Hooded Plover. So what exactly is the hooded plover and why is it endangered and why does it need friends?
Well, hooded plovers are small beach nesting birds. They spend their entire life on our beaches. They nest on the beach, just dig a little scrape in the sand. They don't build a nest as what people normally think birds' nests are. These are just little scrapes in the sand that they lay their eggs directly into. They then raise the chicks there. The chicks are what we call precocious, which means that from the day they hatch, they feed themselves. So unlike, again, most birds, they're not fed by their parents. All the parents do is guard them while they walk around the beach feeding. And they prefer the big open beaches that have got, Aldinga, Silver Sands, for example, Maslin Beach, Port Wollonga, that are the more open things. They don't like to go where there are cliffs, so a lot of the beaches around here aren't suitable for the hooded plovers because they're too cliffy and not sort of flat enough for them.
Mm.
They're endangered because, unfortunately, they have a fairly hard life to start with because all the normal natural hazards like high tides, storms, like we've had last season, you know, a lot of nests were washed away by the big storms we had. And then also other things like natural predators like gulls, kestrels, ravens, these sorts of things. And then, of course, then we add to it the human things because, you know, they love to be where the birds love to be, unfortunately. We both love our beaches so much around here. And that means that there is a lot of disturbance goes on. And so at present, what we're trying to do is to allow both the birds and people to coexist on these beaches.
And so just before we go on, couldn't you just describe a hooded plover for our audience? I mean, we'll put a picture up on our podcast so that people can have a look. But what are they actually like?
A hooded plover is basically a black and a white bird. Black head, hence the hooded. A little red beak, black at the tip, white breast, and sort of a beach sandy coloured back, really. So it does blend in very well to its environment. They would be in size bigger than a spoggy, a sparrow, but smaller than a starling or a blackbird. So they're quite a small bird. A lot of people mistake them for the mast lapwing, the very territorial big birds that you see out on ovals that are quite aggressive. But the hooded plover is sort of a meek and mild little specimen, really.
Yeah, and much smaller.
Much smaller.
Yeah. What drew you to become involved in this project initially?
We were living on a farm out at Lewitt Springs, and then when we retired, we moved over to the coast and started walking on the beaches. And as we were walking on the beaches, you could see these birds, and occasionally you would see them with young and this sort of stuff. And then like two or three days later, the young had disappeared. And so we were keeping ourselves we'd always been a bit interested in wildlife and this sort of things. And then one day an advert came in one of the local papers about the person from the Natural Resource Management Board in Adelaide looking for people for volunteers for a project they were just getting off the ground to regularly monitor the birds. So we started with that. So we've been at them basically from day one, which was in the 2009-10. So we've been doing it for eight seasons because the seasons actually span over the summertime between one year to another. So we talk about seasons rather than years. So we've been doing it for eight seasons now.
Right. And how endangered are they? What are the numbers like, and are they dwindling still?
Numbers in the Fleuria Peninsula are probably around 50 to 70. And they're actually holding steady, but it's a result of having had successful breeding seasons over the last few years. In South Australia in general, I think there's 700 birds, roughly. So that's Eyre Peninsula, York Peninsula, Kangaroo Island. So the larger numbers are in those areas. The Fleuria Peninsula is the smaller of all of those areas. But we have greater threats, I guess, with urbanisation and storms, etc.
What are the main threats in terms of people and what people do?
Well, it's just basically disturbance, unfortunately, because the thing is, at both stages, at the nesting stage, the birds, because they're too small to sort of defend themselves against larger predators, like as they perceive us to be, unfortunately, they simply leave the nest. And they hope that because the eggs are camouflaged that they're not seen. But unfortunately, of course, you know, people could accidentally just tread on them, which is why now that when we find nests, we fence them all the time, because there was a lot of incidental reports of people accidentally treading on eggs and not realising that the nest was actually there, because the adult bird had gone away by that stage. And the second thing too is that, of course, when they do, if we do disturb the birds and they leave the nest, then it means other predators like gulls or ravens can move in when the adult's not there to try and, you know, fight them off. And so that also adds to the problem that way. And then, of course, when they get to the chicks, the eggs hatch and the chicks come out, well, they're tiny little things. And they have to move all over the beach to feed. And they feed almost continuously. It takes 5 weeks for them to grow to the stage where they can fly, and therefore they can fend for themselves. And their lifespan becomes, or their life expectancy becomes much greater once they're able to fly. And at that stage, they're very easily picked off by predators. And their only defence as a small chick like that is simply to hide. So if there's vegetation, they'll get underneath that. If it's rocky, they'll try and hide amongst the rocks. If it's out in the open beaches, they just sit themselves almost, squash themselves as flat as they can to try and lower their profile. But unfortunately, that means that, you know, as we disturb that sort of thing, then the chicks are out in the open again, and again, they get picked off easily by predators. Mm. So disturbance is the real problem. So this is why we try and fence the nests, which is good, but we can't defence the chicks because they've got to move all over the nest, all over the beach to feed, so it's a bit more difficult.
One thing that people can do to help the birds is when they do see a fenced area or aware that the birds are present, if they could move past quickly and basically not disturb the birds too much, and give them a little bit of space, and that's really all that they need, just minimise disturbance. If you have a dog, it would be good if the dog was on a leash, because dogs are a major threat, along with foxes and other feral animals.
What about cars?
Cars are another kettle of fish again. Unfortunately, with cars, if a car is best on the harder sand on the beach, the chicks and the adults will actually hide in the ruts left by cars in the softer sand. And last year, unfortunately, we did find a dead chick in a car rut where the chick had obviously gone in there for shelter. And because they're so small, they can't actually get themselves out of the ruts in a hurry.
We're all trying to get out of a rut, aren't we?
Well, that's right, yes. So cars on beaches, people can drive on the wet sand. That's the best solution there. And if you see a fenced area again where the birds are nesting, preferably park right away from that area so that the birds have got room to move. They need to be sometimes outside of their enclosure for feeding, etc., etc. All the food doesn't sort of hover inside the fence near them. They've got to go out and get it.
Right. So you're involved in the organisation called Friends of the Hooded Plover. And what does a Friend of the Hooded Plover actually do?
Well, our basic thing is to monitor the birds. So, as I said, we go out every season. The nesting season usually starts in about August here and runs to February, March. So first thing we do early in the season is go out and we start looking at the beaches where we know the plovers inhabit. And they are very regular onto where they all nest. They all tend to have, they're very territorial in the nesting season, so each one sort of divides up. And they're usually quite unusual to find more than one pair of birds on a beach. So we send our volunteers out and we go out checking on the beaches where we know they normally nest at the start of the season. When we find a nest, we start then fencing and putting up signs to let people know that the nesting has started there. And then from then on, we keep monitoring the birds. So during the nesting period, we monitor the progress of the eggs to make sure that everything's going well with those, that they haven't lost them to predators or storms or something like that. And then, of course, when the chicks hatch, we try and up the ante a little bit and monitor on a more regular basis, a more longer time spent on the beach, just seeing what the chicks are doing, where they're going, so we can sort of alert people to where to avoid so they don't disturb the chicks that are feeding. And also, too, one of the things we have been doing lately in the last few years now is actually flagging some of the birds. Now, this involves putting a little small plastic flag on one of their legs that has a two-number code on it. And that enables us to identify these birds, and therefore we can track their history from then on. Initially, when we started doing this, we were tagging mainly adults, but now we're starting to switch and mainly tagging the juveniles, so we can, because we've had no idea what's happening to them. It's interesting here, we've been, over the 8 years that we've been doing this, we would probably average about 10 chicks a season over the whole of the Fleuria that would fledge. Yet our numbers aren't going up by anywhere near 10 birds a year. I mean, we would have had 100 birds, fresh ones there. So we're not sure what's happening to them. We're not sure whether they're either because there are no suitable nesting areas that are vacant on the Fleuria, so therefore they're moving somewhere else. We do know, for example, they can fly across to Kangaroo Island and back again. We've had flag birds that have done that. We don't know if they move perhaps down to the Murray even. Or they have a much higher fortality rate than we realised. So by tagging the juveniles and trying to track where they go, we're hoping to get some better idea about what is happening to the fate of the juveniles.
Right. So why is it important to conserve these endangered species?
I think it's a rather sad indictment to think that we can't live with wild animals, you know, that we can't share a habitat. And I think this is another thing that people need to realise, that the beach is a habitat. I mean, it's not just for hooded plovers. There are a lot of other things that live on the beaches as well. And I think it's just an indictment on our society that these birds originally used to be found way up the north of New South Wales. Mm. And they've been wiped off the New South Wales coast many, many years ago. There's only about 10 or so left on the very south, far south coast of New South Wales. And they're heavily protected there now. And numbers are slowly increasing. And the other thing too, as I said before, these birds, because they are out in the open all the time, you can watch them grow up. You can see the chicks developing and this sort of stuff over the 5 week period and gradually turning into adults, which is very difficult to do anywhere else. It does give people an opportunity not to just to see nature, but to interact with it.
Mm. And Australia is unique too, that we can go for a walk and you can have a handful of animals, the species that you've ticked off that you've seen, and that rarely happens in other countries. So it would be a sad thing to lose, especially for future generations. Anecdotally, when we are on the beaches and talking to people that we meet, they say, oh, we used to see lots of these birds, and you know, it was wonderful to see them in big numbers, but they're going, and they can't share that as well these days with their grandchildren and others.